2 Timothy and chapter 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, if you would go over to chapter 3, and we want to read the last few verses of chapter 3 here in 2 Timothy. Beginning in verse 14, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, it says, But continue thou. Now remember, he's writing to Timothy here, and he says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now notice that he learned the scriptures as a child. We know from what we've already read in chapter 1 who he learned those scriptures from. He learned those scriptures from his mother and his grandmother. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing on the preaching and teaching of your word. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts today in that way that only you can. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Out of the French Revolution came this amazing story of a mother who wandered through the woods for 3 days with her two small children, trying to survive on roots and leaves. And on the third day, she heard some soldiers approaching and quickly hid herself and the children behind some bushes. But the sergeant in charge noticed the movement, and so he prodded the bushes to see what was stirring behind them. And when he saw the starving woman and her children, he had compassion on them and immediately gave her a loaf of brown bread. And that mother took the bread, took it very eagerly, and broke it in two pieces and gave one piece to each of the two children. And with that, the sergeant noted to one of the other soldiers that she kept none for herself. And the soldier then asked, Is that because she's not hungry? To which the sergeant answered, No. It's because she's a mother. It's because she's a mother. Have you ever heard the saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? Well, there's an old Spanish saying that says this, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. And that's true. That is true. And I love stories about children and their moms, like the story of 8-year-old Mary, who wrote her mother a note for Mother's Day and said, Dear Mother, here is a box of candy I bought for you for Mother's Day. It is very good candy. I know because I already ate 4 pieces out of the box. That's a typical little kid, right? Or there's the 4-year-old and 6-year-old who present their mom with a house plant for Mother's Day. They had used their own money to buy it, and their mom was just thrilled with it. But the older of them was disappointed that all they could get for her was a houseplant. And so he said with a very sad face, he said, "There was a bouquet we wanted to get you at the flower shop. It was really pretty, but it was just too expensive. It had a pretty ribbon on it, too, that said, 'Rest in peace.'" And then he said this. He said, "We thought it would just be perfect for you, since you're always asking us to give you a little peace so you can get some rest." And then I like this one. There's the one about the teenage boy who got his first job. And he was boasting about the amount of hard work he had to do every day. He said, "I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and have my breakfast before I go to work." Well, the man he was talking to asked him, does anyone else get up that early? And he said, "Oh, yes, Mom gets up and she fixes my breakfast. And then she fixes breakfast for Dad, too." And the man says, "Well, what about your dinner?" He said, "Oh, yes, Mom fixes that, too." He said, "Does your mother have the afternoon to herself?" The boy replied, "Oh, no. Mom cleans the house and looks after the other children, takes kids to swimming lessons and soccer and dance lessons, and she leads a brownie troop, and then gets supper for me and for Dad and for all the rest of the family, and then we watch TV before we go to bed." The man says, "Well, what about your mother? What does she do at night? Does she get to watch TV?" The little boy says, "Oh, no. She washes clothes and then spends most of the rest of the evening ironing them and tidying up the house." And then he asked, "Do you get paid for your job?" The boy said, "Of course I get paid. Dad gets paid too." The man says, "What about your mother? Does she get paid?" And with that, the boy just busted out laughing. He says, "Mother get paid? Mother don't get paid. She don't do no work." Let me tell you something. If you think mothers don't do much work, you might want to keep that to yourself, because you might end up with a fat lip like... Boy, that worked well this week for have you sitting there, yeah? Well, this morning, I want to preach on the subject, Mom's School of Preaching. Mom's School of Preaching. There's a story told about the famous English preacher, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, who was a world-famous preacher years ago. And he had 4 sons. And all 4 of them became preachers of the gospel as well. And at a family reunion, a friend asked those 4 brothers, those 4 preacher sons of G. Campbell Morgan, which Morgan is the greatest preacher? And while all 4 boys immediately looked to their father, all 4 of them simultaneously said, "Mother, Mother." And you know, this is true. To them, Mother was a great preacher. And you know what? I agree with them. My mother preached to me for 52 years and was an amazing preacher in that sense. And every mother really is. Mothers, you know, do a lot of preaching to their children, whether they consider it preaching or not. I'm reminded of the story of the woman in a local church who had a son who was just, I mean, extremely unruly. Well, they had a visiting missionary come, and she was trying to, or he rather, was trying to stir up interest to get people to go to a foreign country to preach the gospel. And the missionary noticed, you know, this young boy, what a pistol that kid really was. And at the end of the service, that woman came to the front dragging that little boy behind her. And she told the missionary, she said, "I just feel like God is calling me to be a missionary." And the missionary's response was this. He said, you are indeed called to be a missionary. And then he pointed a little boy and he said, and there's the little heathen you need to preach to first. And he could see him, what he was doing in church. And that's what moms do, right? They preach to little heathens until they come to the point where they're able to live without having mom preach to them constantly. And so this morning, as I said, I want us to look at the school of preaching that Timothy went to. And this school of preaching was started by this woman named Eunice, who was raised in a religious home and was greatly impacted by her mother, Lois. Lois, the grandmother of Timothy, made it her job to train and teach her daughter Eunice the ways of God from a youth. And from that training, Eunice learned to love and read the Old Testament scriptures, and she grew to be a godly young woman. And after she got married, Eunice and her husband had a baby boy who was named Timothy. Little Timothy was a bundle of joy to them. And as he grew, Lois and Eunice both would tell little Timmy the stories from the Old Testament. Both his mother and his grandmother would pray for Timmy and would train him, even as a little child, in the spiritual ways of God. And then eventually, there came a preacher to their town by the name of Paul. His message was all about Jesus. And as he taught, both Lois and Eunice listened intently as Paul preached about how Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. And he encouraged everyone to put their trust not in the old law, but in Jesus himself as their Savior and Lord. And with Timothy being taught by his mother and grandmother, and now getting the message that Paul was sharing, Timothy had a good, keen understanding of who Jesus was. And now he had died on the cross for the sins of the world, and how he had risen again 3 days later. Timothy came to understand all of this, and Timothy opened up his heart and invited Christ in to be his Savior and his Lord. And over the years, Paul grew to love Timothy as his very own son. You'll notice in verse 2, it says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Loved him like a son. Wasn't his natural father, but loved him like a son. And Paul spent a lot of time training and molding Timothy and encouraging him. And Timothy grows under all of this good teaching and begins to work with Paul, preaching and teaching the gospel to others. And even when Paul ends up in prison for preaching the truth about Jesus, he doesn't forget Timothy. Paul writes two letters to Timothy. And in these books, we have Paul instructing a young pastor on how to be the kind of preacher God wants him to be in the city of Ephesus. As Paul writes 1 and 2 Timothy to this young man, among many of the things that he does is he reflects on how it all began with Timothy's godly mother Eunice and with his godly grandmother, Lois. Now, keep your finger here in 2 Timothy, and we want to go to Philippians for just a moment. I want you to see something that Paul says about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, if you would. We're coming right back to 2 Timothy, but look over here in Philippians for a moment. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 19. But But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, that's a Greek version of the word Timothy. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Now at this point, Paul is very near the end of his life. And basically what he says is, there is nobody like Timothy. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him. No man like Timothy. So where did Timothy's training begin? As I said, it was mom's school of preaching. The Apostle Paul tells us, who sharpened the spiritual blade that was churning inside of Timothy's heart? It was Lois and Eunice. And the wonderful thing that we see here is that Lois and Eunice not only communicated the truth to Timothy, they demonstrated the truth to Timothy. Reminds us as parents of an important lesson, and it's this. If your Christianity doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'm reminded of the story of four scholars who were arguing over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty and eloquent Old English. Another said he preferred the New American Standard Bible for its literalism and the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. The third man preferred the NIV because of its penetrating use of words, the turn of a phrase that captures the attention of the reader. And after giving it a little bit further thought, the fourth scholar said this. He said, I prefer my mother's translation. Now, of course, all the other scholars, they laughed and mocked him and said, your mother translated the Bible? And he said, oh, yes, she translated it. He said, she translated each page of the Bible into her life. And it is the most convincing translation I ever saw. One time, a woman wrote to the famous evangelist Gypsy Smith after an evangelistic campaign. She wrote to tell him that she had been converted as a result of his message. She also said this in the letter. She said, I believe the Lord wants me to preach the gospel, Brother Smith, but the trouble is I have 5 children to raise. What shall I do? And she received this letter in reply. He said, my dear lady, I'm happy to hear that you've been saved and feel called to preach, but I am even more delighted to know that God has already provided you with a congregation of 12 to preach to. You see, he wanted her to be the kind of mother that Eunice and Lois were. He wanted her to be someone who communicated the truth of Christ to her children, but also someone who demonstrated the truth of Christ to her children. You see, that's how Eunice and Lois were. They taught the new preacher by word and by example how to develop a sincere faith. If you go back to the passage in 2 Timothy 1, you'll notice in verse 5, it says, he mentions, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Unfeigned faith. Someone has said, mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, said, "All that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." As we read, Paul says, I'm reminded of your unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned as related to faith means that his faith was not hypocritical. It was sincere. It was real. It was without any pretense. It was not fake. It was not a facade. It was not phony. Timothy witnessed a genuine faith in his mother's heart and in his grandmother's heart, and now that faith was alive and well in his own heart. Now, these two mothers were completely sold out to Christ. They were drop-dead serious about their faith. They were fully devoted and completely committed, and Timothy knew it. You see, no one knows better than a child whether a parent's faith is genuine. And if you want to instill authentic faith in your children, then you absolutely must take your own faith seriously. Because those kids are watching. Those kids are watching. Timmy learned here in his mother's school of preaching. And you know, lots of preachers through church history have given testimony to the fact of their mother's influence in life. I think of the famous preacher John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, spent an hour each day praying for her 17 children. You know where her prayer closet was? Underneath her apron. She would sit in a chair in the living room and in the dining room, and she would take the apron and pull it up over her head for an hour. And her children knew, "Don't bother Mom, she's praying. Don't bother Mom, she's praying." She spent an hour a day like that praying for her children. And then every week, she would take each child individually for 1 hour and discuss with them spiritual matters and biblical teaching. It's no wonder two of her sons, Charles and John Wesley, were used of God to bring blessing to England and to America and in the long run to the whole world. And you see, that's the way Lois and Eunice were. That's how they acted. Mother's school of preaching taught Timothy to respect the word of God. We read in 2 Timothy 3:15, all scripture is given let me think. The verse just before that is the one I'm thinking of. It's verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." They just drummed those scriptures into the head of Timothy. "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Lois and Eunice were team teachers, I guess you'd say. They taught young Timothy when he was just an infant about Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Sarah and David and the Israelites. I'm sure they said things like, "Okay, Tim, how many books are there in the Old Testament? Go ahead, recite them now, Timothy. Recite the books of the Bible. Tim, who in the Bible was swallowed by the great fish? Tim, let me hear you quote Psalm 23. And I'm thinking about Timothy, and I'm wondering if he got to go to Dairy Queen for the right answers like my granny used to do with me when I got the right answers to those kind of things. Paul could say to Timothy, "Your mama and your grandma, they've done a wonderful, wonderful job in teaching you." Tim, you know from them that the Bible really is God's inspired word. And so, Tim, I want you now to go to Ephesus, and you stand behind the blood-stained banner of the cross, and you preach the word of God to others. Tim, you remember what I said in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know that. Tim, your grandmother and your mother sat you on their laps and they'd get out the word of God, they'd read it to you. Tim, when you go to Ephesus now, I want you to take that word and I want you to meditate on it and study it and obey it and then get out there and preach it to others. He's saying, remember, Tim, what your mother taught you. Don't you cut corners with the truth. And even when they won't listen to you, you just keep on preaching the word of God. He told him in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he charged him over in chapter 4 verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then one of the last things he talked to Timothy about is this. He says, Tim, it won't be long now before your mother and your grandmother and I have crossed the river into heaven. And when we're gone, when you get discouraged, don't forget what you learned on your mother's knee. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He's saying, Tim, my ministry will soon be over. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I kept the faith. Tim, your mother Eunice fought a good fight, finished her course, kept the faith. Your grandmother Lois fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. And now your mom and your grandmother and I expect you to do the same, to fight a good fight, finish your course, and keep the faith. You see, the life of Timothy, the faithful preacher of the Word of God, clearly portrays the influence of a godly Christian mother. And I come to an end of the message, and I say this: thank God for godly Christian mothers. Last year, on August 19th, I had to say goodbye to my mom. I will never, ever forget the last private conversation that we had. Everybody had left the room, and my mom was laying there in the hospital, and we knew she was dying. And so I was all by myself with her, and I said, Mom, I said, do you realize how sick you are? How sick you really are. And she shook her head and she mouthed the word yes. She had a respirator in, so couldn't talk, but she shook her head yes and mouthed the word yes. I had this conversation with her because my dad couldn't do it. You know, I've never seen anything come along in life that my dad couldn't handle, but he couldn't handle this one. So I said, Mom, do you realize how sick you are? She said, yes. I said, do you understand that the doctors have pretty much given up hope of you recovering from this? And she said, yes, shook her head, yes, said yes. And I said, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to remove life support? I said, otherwise you'll be in a nursing home for the rest of your life on this respirator. There's no way you're coming off. And she said, yes. I said, are you ready for this? She said, yes. I said, you understand that once we take you off that respirator, you are going to die. She said, yes. She understood that. And so I took some time and I looked in that beautiful face one last time. And I said this. I said, Mom, I want you to know that you are the best mom a boy could ever have had. I said, I love you with all of my heart. You have set a wonderful example. And I said this. I said, I promise to go on and serve Jesus just like you taught me to. And you know, I could say that to her because she had taught me that. She taught me by word and deed that no matter what, through thick or thin, through good times or bad times, through sickness or health, through joy or sorrow, always, always, always love and serve Jesus. And so I can say from the bottom of my heart, knowing exactly what I'm saying, thank God for godly Christian mothers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for the example set for us by Lois and Eunice in the way they trained Timothy in the things of God through their